This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, yes, indeed. Welcome on into our Friday edition of Sports Talk, and happy 328 to all you Saints fans out there. Remembering, obviously, the Atlanta Falcons collapse in the Super Bowl. So that's always a bright spot today.
It jogged my memory today. So the Super Bowl we just saw, the one in New Orleans, Kansas City Chiefs, we're going to be talking to Justin Reed later on in the show. And there's a clip of him on the sideline going into the second half, and he got the score wrong. He said the Patriots were down 27-3, blah, blah, blah. And it was like, that's why they didn't win. They didn't come back because he got the history wrong, because it's 28-3. It's like, if you're going to be here now, you got to get that stuff right. That's important to Saints fans, that specific number.
Ironically, it's also Derek Carr's birthday.
I don't know about that. Yeah.
A sore spot for Saints fans in that fashion, it seems today.
Yeah, the when you can't wish your quarterback a happy birthday without angry responses on social media, it's a weird time.
The NFL draft fastly coming upon us, approaching, and we're setting all these visits around the NFL, and I see a lot of fans getting worked up of the team being at certain pro days or interviewing like running backs like Ashton Jeanty, or we were at Syracuse today talking to a quarterback, and it's just a feeling out process. I don't think that there is too much should be gleaned into it, because we've talked to players before and be like, I didn't even talk to the Saints and they drafted me.
Yeah, I mean, you're scouting. It's the job. That's what you do. You go out and you look at these guys because they could be the guy you draft. But, that's this time of year, right? You want to make every molehill into the biggest mountain ever. And in reality, it's like they got to be doing something. Okay, which pro day are you going to go to? Okay, Kellen Moore's out at Ole Miss today, right? Yeah, there's some guys you can look at there. The dinners they've been having, I think, are a little bit more interesting. And, a lot of these dinners they've been having have been with running backs, because Ashton Jeanty mentioned that he and Joel Thomas went out for dinner. You have the Tennessee running back that I believe they went out to have a dinner with, Dylan Sampson, and they were out at Ohio State's pro day, obviously, Trevion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. So I feel like, if you're penciling in a position to this draft class
that's going to get selected,
you got to see a running back coming out of this class. Now, I don't know where you're going to get that running back, but I think that's what you're trying to figure out. Is like, hey, Ashton Jeanty might be on the board. You gotta at least kick the tires and say, hey, if he's there, is this a guy that we're in on? Right, and if he's not, then you look down the board and say, hey, where would we be in on our running back? Is there someone we like at 40? Is there someone we like at 71, maybe 93? And that's
rather a later round, not first.
I agree. I think third round is where the Saints have looked for running backs, and where they have been successful finding running backs, or at least finding running back. Alvin Kamara worked out. The last third round pick hasn't really panned out quite as well. But that's what you're trying to figure out. You're not, and I think that's, they went to Ole Miss, so they must be staring at Jackson Dart saying, we're taking them at number 9. I don't know, maybe, but there's a lot of players at that Ole Miss pro day that you might be looking at third round, fourth round, fifth round, sixth round. And that's why you're there, right? Like, people freaked out because they went to Miami. It's like, yeah, Cam Ward's there. But there's a lot of other players on that Miami roster that you could be considering. So there's a lot. Like, I feel like we always kind of home in on these top targets, the top picks and the top prospects. But a lot of times, you already know all about those guys. It's the guys down the line that you want to learn more about.
And I know in the past, Sean Payton has talked about going to certain pro days just to get intel on guys that you probably will face down the line, especially if somebody's in the division.
Yeah, that information doesn't just burn in a fire after you don't draft a guy, you know? And it's not even the guys you might play. It's, hey, 4 years down the line when these guys are free agents. You know, Dylan Radins was a Senior Bowl guy. I don't think they got a good look at him in 2021 at the Senior Bowl. A lot of these Senior Bowl guys that they don't end up drafting, they have all that scouting information. They come back to him. So I think that is part of what you're doing.
Plenty of action around the wild world of sports. We had opening day in Major League Baseball yesterday. The LSU baseball team started their series against Mississippi State. Sweet 16 action going on. Nothing that you sports fans out there didn't have on the plate to at least tune into and watch. I was curious. It's like if you had to pick one, though, were you going with opening day or Sweet 16 action yesterday?
Well, you know, I'm still a little bitter about their UConn losing, so I did go with baseball. But, you know, and Charlie, you can probably weigh in here. Are you aware that we are in the Astros home market and the Rangers home market technically? Like, I got League Pass to watch MLB TV to watch the Red Sox because I don't get to watch Red Sox games.
Right.
They're playing the Rangers, so it was blocked out. Like, Dallas is like an 8-hour drive from here. How could we possibly be considered in the home market of, I guess they're in Arlington, right?
Like, right.
How can we possibly be considered in the home market for the Astros, who are 5 hours away, and the Rangers, who are 8 hours away? I'm pretty sure the Florida teams are just as close. They're not blacked out. So what is it about Texas that apparently Louisiana has been lumped into? I think it's a Bally thing because they're both Bally teams. I don't know. I would call it, it's malarkey. It's malarkey.
The MLB has the worst blackout rules.
It's crazy.
All professional sports. I agree 1,000%.
I wouldn't even know the mechanics of getting a Rangers home game on my TV.
It was part of the Bally Sports, I think, Southwest right. thing, which was what the Pelicans used to be on before they were on the Gulf Coast.
Is Bally Southwest still around?
I have no idea. I don't watch it because now the Pels are on Gulf.
Right.
The Gulf Coast. So I would have to subscribe to Bally specifically to get Rangers games.
Yeah, I think
it's crazy.
The Astros are on AT&T Southwest.
Okay.
It's like a different service. It's really weird. As you mentioned, the blackouts are so stupid. Like
we're not in Texas. We're not even close. I in Connecticut, the Red Sox would be blocked out. And that's fine because that's pure Red Sox market. There's no baseball market here. They're making that up. Do people here really care about the Astros?
I would think the majority of folks, at least that I've run into, are Cubs fans here because of
right.
the back in the day of WGN being everywhere.
I would guess there's more fans of not those teams in Louisiana than fans of the
Rangers or Astros.
If we're talking Lake Charles, that area,
there's plenty of Astros fans though too,
right? But I mean, it's an 8. There should be a limit. I was just so annoyed that I was like, I paid for this. I can't watch it because they're playing the Rangers. How dare you not subscribe? Anyway.
We got more Sweet 16 action coming up, and that is going to be on our sister station, The Bet, 92.9 FM and 1350 AM. We'll be catching up on that also tonight on WWL 870 AM. We've got the Pelicans taking on the Golden State Warriors, 6:30 pregame coverage, 7 o'clock tip-off. Meanwhile, on 105.3 FM, LSU baseball scheduled to play Game 2 against Mississippi State, 6 o'clock pregame coverage, a 6:30 first pitch. We'll definitely be keeping tabs on all the weather updates coming from Baton Rouge there. Coming up soon on this hour of Sports Talk, 4:35, new Saints safety Justin Reed will be joining us, helping us talk about all the new stuff going on with the black and gold and him coming back home to be with the Saints. Then in the 5 o'clock hour, a little draft talk. Sam Bruckhaus, former Tulane linebacker and Sumer Sports senior NFL analyst and data scientist, will help us break down some of the risers and fallers that have been on the draft board. Then, like I said, 6 o'clock, we're waiting on that LSU Mississippi State matchup. Game 2, Tigers coming back to take Game 1. A win this evening would give them the series, which they so much need. We'll be back talking about all things right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk as we get ready to talk to Saints safety Justin Reed coming up. Don't know if you guys saw the latest odds coming out from NFL win totals.
And I did.
The Saints sets, it seems awfully low to
five
me at 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. You look at, they won 5 games last year, and it went about as badly as it could have possibly gone.
Right, except for weeks 1 and 2.
It's like it's tough to lose more than 12 games. Like, it's really difficult to lose more than 12 games. You have to be real, real bad. Like, you have to be trying to be bad to some extent. Like, you have to be bad and then get bad luck, you know? So I don't know. It's, I wouldn't advise anyone bet that. As a Saints fan, like, you must be, you'd have to be miserable to be like, I'm going to bet the under. I'm going to root for this.
Right. I was like, I'm, you know, you're looking at all the win totals and I'm like, I'm like Bobby now. I'm going to call myself a homer because I'm slamming the over on that one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to slam the over at this time of the offseason because all you, like, here's the thing. Like, if things go well, right? If you get good luck, you're not losing 12 games. It's the bad luck that got you to that record in the first place, and you would have to hope there's a positive regression from a health perspective. So I don't know. It's at the end of the day, I understand why the Saints are there, because they have done nothing to make people confident that they're going to be any better than they were last year, right? And if you're close to the project, you can say, like, well, with good health, they should be able to be better than they were last year. With a starting quarterback, they should be able to be better than they were last year. But again, and we talked about this, like, the odds are there for the bettors. They're not a prediction. They are, hey, how are we going to make money on this, right? And so they're going to get a lot of people slamming that over, I think, because it's like, man, that's a low number.
It really, I mean, only one worse in the NFC was the New York Giants, I believe, at 4.5.
That makes sense. The two teams I end up watching the most. Yeah, I have a bad time.
I wonder if that changes now that they have Winston and Russ over
me
there.
Watching the Giants?
No, yeah, no, it the win
change.
Total.
It should change. I can't stop watching the Saints, but I can exercise some faculty on whether I watch the Giants. No, it, you know, that Russ-Jameis situation, I've had, you know, my family still watches the Giants, and they text me being like, what are they doing? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm as confused as you are, because my dad was like talking to me, he's like, oh, Jameis is the starter. I'm like, eh, we'll see.
Right.
You know, I didn't think they were signing in to be the starter. I was kind of surprised. Like, usually you'll sign your starter first. That's why it was a weird thing. If they had signed Russ and then signed Jameis, you'd be like, oh yeah, he's the backup. Because they signed Jameis first,
right,
you were like, oh, they must be signing him to be the starter. And apparently they're signing Russ to be the starter. But
maybe the Giants are trying to say, hey, pick us for Hard Knocks. We've got some entertaining content here.
Jeez. I don't know, man. I still think they're going to draft a quarterback. That's what's going to make it really weird, is when you have Russ, Jameis, and Jackson Dart, Shador, somebody.
Although the latest, I've seen two now mock drafts. I forget by who each one was, but have Shador Sanders falling to number 9 with the Saints.
Well, then now we know that's going to happen. Yeah, I mean, that's official, right? You know, the mock
Definitely
drafts are
right.
Always right. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think what it does tell me is that the Giants are not in the market to trade up to number 1. Because if you were, then you would be at least committed to, he's either going to start or he's going to be our backup. We are not going to spend any money. But I also think the Giants with Russ and Jameis and Daboll and Shane, it's like, okay, there's a scenario where all 4 of y'all are gone by next year. So we're not committing to anything.
Don't forget Tommy Cutlets.
Beyond this season. Yeah, Tommy DeVito. Let's get that thing done. Hey. But I think that's part of what it is. Is when you have a GM and a head coach on as thin of ice as those two guys, you're not getting a multi-year deal at quarterback. You're getting, let's see how it goes. Because I think Russ is kind of washed. Like, I think Russ is Ryan Tannehill with Super Bowl rings. That's how I see Russell Wilson at this point in his career. And honestly, I don't know if his peak was all that much better. He was just on a really good team for the beginning of his career.
I'm interested to see, too, how that dynamic of the personalities of Russ and Jameis collide.
Yeah, you know, I
like I said, I think it's going to be some great entertainment value.
What I'll say for Jameis is I feel like I know who Jameis is. To me, Russ, his personality is completely manufactured.
Yeah.
It's all there for show. None of it's real. So I don't know what he's like in the locker room. I just remember that funny story about him doing like knee ups on a plane while everyone was trying to sleep.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we'll be talking to Saints safety Justin Reed right here on WWL. You can sound off our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line today, 504-260-1870. Let us know what you're up to this Friday. Coming back with more right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. We're back here on our Friday edition on WWL Saints Radio, and happy to welcome in one of the newest members of the Black and Gold, Saints safety Justin Reed, joining us here on WWL. Thanks so much for the time, Justin. How you been doing?
Oh, man, great. Just awesome. Appreciate you guys allowing me to come on board. Can't wait to talk to all of the Saints out there.
Definitely appreciate it, man. Me and my counterpart here, Jeff, were at your introductory press conference at the Saints facility earlier in the month. And just to feel that excitement from you about being back in Louisiana was really refreshing. Getting to soak in a little bit more. How are you and the family adjusting knowing you're going to be back in the boot?
I think that I have a little bit of an easier transition than most guys. I already know the area so well, already have so much family there, that the transition's pretty much streamlined. I already am closing on my residence in the next 3 days because I already knew exactly what areas to look at, and I'm just excited to get down there, get in the building, get in Coach Staley's system, and start getting to work.
Yeah, Justin, I know you had your first kid recently. Congratulations, by the way. How's dad life treating you?
Sure, everyone who's a parent out there knows how those first couple of months are. Not sleeping very much, but it is so rewarding to see her, especially now she's starting to have a little bit more reactions and facial expressions, smiling a lot more. So that's just so rewarding to see that.
Yeah, just in general, has it settled in yet that, you're going to be back in front of family? Like, I know when we talked to you, a month or so ago, it was kind of fresh. You were just saying, hey, it took a couple days to settle in. Like, have you kind of had time to reflect on what it's going to mean walking into the Superdome for the first time with a Saints jersey on? Obviously, you've played there before. In terms of, hey, I play for the Saints now. This is where I am.
Yeah, thought about it a little bit, but I don't think that it'll really hit until we start getting closer to that first preseason game and regular season games where I actually get to see my name on the back of the jersey and walk out to that crowd and hear the chant and really just get to feel the electricity and the atmosphere. So really looking forward to it. Right now it's just all about the work ethic mentality, being the dog in the weight room, being the dog in the film study. So that way, and get guys at rally, we can all walk into the season extremely confident about what we're going to be able to go and do.
One thing about being back, though, Justin, I know you know the summers here well. Have you thought about Saints training camp?
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty familiar with it. I was already telling my girl, is like, hey, when you walk outside in the middle of July, and it's like it doesn't matter. You can't hide from the sun whether you're in the shade or not. It's going to be like you're wearing a fur coat out there. So salt tablets would be a must. Electrolytes would be a must. you just get right back into it and just, power through it. But that's really what the dogs are made at, is in those conditions, because if you're able to fight through that, then the game will be easy.
Yeah, if you can survive 100% humidity, you can survive just about anything. One thing that I appreciate in your press conference, you mentioned T5 a couple times, and people around here might not know that nickname for Tyrann Mathieu because we go by Honey Badger. I always appreciate how nicknames exist in different places. You played with him on the Texans. You didn't play with him on the Chiefs, but you obviously spent time on the Chiefs as well. What are your memories of playing with Tyrann as a rookie, and what are your kind of expectations of rejoining him this year?
Yeah, just his leadership qualities. He was a guy that knew a ton of football, was a savvy vet, was able to go beyond the playbook, and just had a really gifted feel for the game as far as feeling how pass concepts develop and being able to do things outside of the playbook, but still within the structure of the defense to go out and make some plays. And then quite possibly the most powerful thing is just his the way that he's able to speak, his public speaking skills as far as being a leader of men, and his pregame speeches get guys energized up and to buy into, feel like you're ready to run it through a wall to do whatever needs to be done to go out there and win. Was really second to none.
You mentioned defensive coordinator Brandon Staley earlier, and just curious if you've gotten to speak with him much, and what do you know about his defense coming to New Orleans?
Yeah, that is dynamic. I was actually on football with Durin a couple of days ago, and we talked a little bit about how he used Durin, and then he's building the tape to show some ways how he's going to use me too. And it's going to be different, but it's going to be really exciting because he's going to, try and put guys in positions to make some plays. So excited about getting into it, excited about actually being allowed to go out and talk football with them, because especially when you're on a new team, that's really all you really want to do is get down there and just get to it,
Yeah, I think most people don't realize how many rules there are about, you know, actually like football conversations in the offseason and stuff like that. It is kind of an interesting thing. But I am curious, you know, one thing that I've noticed about his defense is he likes to disguise a lot. And at the safety position, more so than maybe any other, you have a lot to do with that, whether you're disguising, you know, single high, whatever kind of coverage you're in. Yeah, how do you feel about that part of the game? Do you think that's a, you know, confusing a quarterback, showing a quarterback one look, and getting into another? What are your thoughts on that concept in general?
Yeah, I think that that's one of my strengths. I think one of my strengths is being able to hold looks and organize the defense and talk to my partner safety as well as other DBs and be able to get guys on the same page so that we can present a different look that the quarterback might not be prepared for. Because this game in this day and age, like, you're the best quarterbacks in the league, you know, your Patrick Mahomes, your Jalen Herberts, your Justin Herberts, all of these guys, if you tell them what coverage you're in, they're just going to pick you apart, right? So if you're able to cause some confusion and make them have some post-snap reads, that's really where all the turnovers that big plays happen between the quarterbacks holding on to the ball a little bit longer. D-line, Cam Jordan, Chase Young, so might have another second to get home. And then quarterback might make some errant throws that you're able to turn into some interceptions. So disguising this league is critical, I think, to defensive success. So, it's good that that's one of the things we talked about when he was recruiting me, was that it would be a good fit in order to present these looks and not just give away the defenses to the quarterback and opposing teams.
Justin, recently oddsmakers put out the projected win totals for teams in the NFL. Saints coming in just at 5.5. Is that something you guys as players pay attention to, can use it as bulletin board material, or is that really overrated and something maybe we just talk about in the media?
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't mean anything to anybody outside the locker room. Like, the locker room, we know we're capable of, and, you know, I'm with the Saints now, and it's about the Saints, but just for example standpoint, the last 2 years with the Chiefs, we were picked to be the last in the division. We were picked not to go back to the Super Bowl, and we went to 3 straight Super Bowls. So, you know, all that is just, you know, you can call it whatever you want, hearsay. Some guys use it. If a guy does want to listen to media and he wants to use it as motivation, then great. Let that be your fuel for your fire to get you to go out there and play harder. But at the end of the day, it's on the men that's on the field. And whatever Vegas says, whatever these predictions are, don't mean anything. What matters is what the guys in the locker room and the coaching staff believe.
You know, you brought up the run with the Chiefs, the 2 championships you got back this year. I'm just curious, as you get some distance, some perspective from that, how do you view that run? And I think when you're in it, I'm sure it was hard to kind of get an idea of, like, we just accomplished something incredible. And obviously losing the Super Bowl, I think it would be really easy to lose perspective that, hey, you know, you're the first team to ever get back for the three-peat. You know, there's been other teams trying to get to a third Super Bowl. They didn't get there. You know, the Chiefs did. Obviously, it didn't go your way. But, you know, what is kind of your thoughts on that stretch now that you can kind of look back on it and assess it?
Yeah, I would say that, you know, that the end game is in mind. We know that every team at the beginning of the season wants to go to that championship. You know that that's the end game in mind, and that should be on your bulletin board or whatever it is. That's the standard. But the way that you get there is one game at a time, and it's putting out your best week in and week out. Taking no games off, no thinking that this game is already lost or already won, whatever it is, and expecting that every game will be tough. There were no easy games in any of those 3 years I was with the Chiefs, because you're playing against the NFL. It's the best of the best in the entire world. But if you approach it that way, and you approach it that you prepare to play your best ball week in and week out, it gives you the best chance to go out and do it. So you don't get hung up on mistakes. You have a process that you're always building towards. You want to be playing your best ball as you get to the postseason. You don't want to peak too soon. So it's okay to make mistakes during the season as long as every step is working towards that goal and you're focusing on it one game at a time.
Yeah, and just kind of going into that a little bit more, you know, Steve Spagnuolo here, he had a year as a defense coordinator, didn't go particularly well, but, you know, he's kind of reemerged as that guy over the last, you know, however many years, I've lost track, with the Chiefs. What is it about him that has allowed him to kind of turn that defense into such a dominant group? And, you know, what are kind of your takeaways in general of why that defense has been so effective in his span there?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things is what we just mentioned earlier, and that's disguises. I mean, Coach Spags, we spend a ton of time on disguises and presenting looks to confuse quarterbacks so that it gave opportunities to go out and make plays. Like, we didn't sit in one coverage. We didn't sit in one look. We tried to make it as difficult as possible on the opposing team, and that allowed us to create some pressure. And then other than that, it's having cerebral players that can handle the playbook. Myself, Nick Bolton, Tim McDuffie, whatever it is. Same type of guys that we'll have with the Saints, but having guys that can handle the playbook and don't make mental errors and give up explosives. So disguises, no explosive plays, and physical DBs, because every team wants to run the ball to the corner. But if your corners are cutting people in half, then there is no run game. The run game doesn't exist. And then you force them into a one-dimensional offense, and then your defensive line can go eat, and your DBs and linebackers can go eat in the coverage system too. So all of those pieces add up to the formula, and you just put them together, and then, you know, the magic just happens.
Justin, I know fans know you as a smart, tough guy that loves to lower the boom on the field, but what about away from the game of football? I know you recently just joined the ranks of the dad life, but what are some things that Justin Reed enjoys doing away from football?
Yeah, favorite hobbies. Really like chess. I really like playing golf. I got the golf bug pretty bad. I'm actually out on the course right now because I just love to go play. And then, man, that's really I do that, and I do a little bit of real estate too. So those are the four phases of my life, man. I never get tired of it. And, like, I'm a guy that eats the same breakfast day in and day out, and I never get sick of it. And doing these four things, football, golf, chess, and real estate, I just never get enough of it.
What's the goal score today?
If I'm shooting in the 80s, I got a good feeling about it.
All right, that's good.
I feel good about it.
Yeah, you know, I guess in general, just one last question. You know, for fans who aren't familiar with your game, you know, obviously a lot of locals will know your brother from LSU. You obviously went out to Stanford, so didn't see as many of those games. What should someone walking into the Superdome expect to experience when they watch Justin Reed out on the field for the first time?
Oh, probably that guy when you turn on, you know, 2005 Madden and everyone just loved using the hit stick all the time.
Yeah.
A guy like that, a guy who I feed on physicality. I love physical games. I love punishing wide receivers. Maybe they do try and block me, or I want them to be thinking about me when they're running their routes to the middle of the field. And, you know, maybe that causes a drop pass or a tip ball that turns to an interception. But pride myself on that, and then also pride myself on being a big communicator on the field. No mental errors on my side of the field, because, you know, we just don't make those mistakes. So having guys in the right position and then making the plays that just are put there for you, don't miss the layups.
Justin Reed, new Saints safety, definitely appreciate the time. Enjoy the golf game today, and definitely looking forward to seeing you at practices come off-season workouts. Congrats, my man.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Justin.
That was Justin Reed, Saints safety, joining us right here on WWL Saints Radio. Well, she'll take a break and come back with more right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. You can hear that interview of Justin Reed at WWL.com. If you missed it, also on the Odyssey app, you hit the rewind button. We mentioned the men's Sweet 16 in action. We also got ladies action this evening. The LSU women taking on NC State. That is a 6:30 tip-off. Currently at the half right now, guys, you've got Maryland has a 33-31 lead over South Carolina. If it were to be, you know, the scriptwriters in the NCAA women's basketball tournament have it their way, South Carolina would meet LSU. It would have to be the final game for the championship. Oh, what a matchup that would be.
That's how you want it. I don't know. Like, I feel like every team has that team they don't beat.
Yeah.
You know, like even like they're even when UConn was winning the titles the last 2 years, I was like, if they run into Creighton, I'm pretty sure they'll lose, because Creighton just knows how to play them. There's just a confidence level. I feel like South Carolina is that team for LSU. I think LSU's going to win tonight. I mean, I know NC State's a 2 seed, but, you know, I think they kind of sandbagged their way to a 3. You know, I think they're much better than a 3 seed.
Coming back with more sports talk after the top of the hour news. We'll be talking NFL draft. Sam Bruckhaus, former Tulane linebacker, also works for Sumer Sports, senior NFL analyst and data scientist, will join us then. So stay tuned for more of Sports Talk right after this on WWL.